Well, good morning. It is great to see you, apparently on a rainy Sunday morning, which those are pretty rare, but great to see you. If you're a guest, I'm really glad you're here with us. Before we get to our sermon this morning, I wanted to highlight where we're going in September. In a couple weeks, we're going to begin a new sermon series through the book of Jonah called Arise and Go. You know, the story of Jonah, sometimes we think it's about a large fish, but it's so much more than that. It's the story of a man called by God who runs away from the presence of God and his mission, and a God who has relentless grace towards us. And so we're going to take 7 weeks, starting in the month of September, to go through this amazing book together. So my encouragement to you is to be with us starting September 7th. We're going to have some creative ways to come alongside you to how do we arise and go as God's people? How are we sent out to be on mission, knowing his presence goes with us? And so I encourage you to be here, join us on campus September 7th. And I'd encourage you to be prayerful about inviting someone in your life to join you to be here. A neighbor, a family member, a coworker, someone in your life who you're saying, I should extend the invite and have them be with me here as we kick off in September. So arise and go. Today, we close out our series on the way, the truth, and the life. We've been looking at this idea of what does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus in our day? What does it mean to be his disciples? And as I shared last week, that word disciple, if you've never heard it or don't understand it, it probably could be best translated apprentice. How do I follow Jesus and study under him how to live life in the kingdom of God, knowing that in him we receive life in his presence? So if you are willing and able, would you stand this morning for the reading of scripture? If you have a Bible or a Bible app, we will be in 2 Corinthians 3 and Galatians 5. 2 Corinthians 3, Galatians 5. If you don't have a Bible, we will have it on the screen behind me, and we will read in just a moment. Before I do, I like for us to pause in a corporate moment of silence, allow this moment for our souls to just be, and to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's do that. The psalmist says in Psalm 62, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock and my salvation. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock and my salvation. Father, today, through the opening of your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you transform our hearts and our souls and our lives into the image of your Son, so that we could be a picture of your kingdom in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, please follow along as I read. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And then in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Well, this sermon series, I've been so excited to kind of kick off our new ministry year with this sermon series. And by way of recap, if you happen to miss a week, the first week we talked about the way, living with Jesus. How do you and I abide in Jesus? And we talked about that word abide could be translated. How do you and I take up residence, make our home with Jesus? Apprenticeship to Jesus is not a Sunday spectator sport. It's meant to be bringing all of my life. It's meant to be getting connected in community, serving. Living with Jesus as his disciple means, where is Jesus sending me on Monday to be part of his work? Then last week we talked about the truth, learning from Jesus. The reality is that you and I just don't happen to arrive here on a Sunday morning as a blank slate, but that through our thoughts, our feelings, and our habits, we have been formed. We've been shaped over time into who we are. And the great invitation from Jesus, as we saw last week, is he said, come to me. All you who are wearied and burdened by life, learn from me and you will find rest for your souls. And this morning we close out our series looking at the life, looking like Jesus, living with Jesus, learning from Jesus, and looking like Jesus. I have a question for you as we kind of jump into this morning. The question is this: when you were an elementary aged kid, who did you dream about becoming when you were older? When you were young, who did you want to be like when you were older? This was easy for me to answer as a third and fourth grader. I immediately know who I dreamed about being like and who I wanted to become when I was older. It was a very, very easy answer for me. It was the ultimate warrior because I was obsessed with pro wrestling. I still remember on Saturday afternoons, I had a small cubed-sized TV in my room that I would just stand in front of. It was about this big. And you could hear his music begin. And he would run out from backstage. And I mean, full sprint, if you ever saw The Ultimate Warrior. Full sprint into the ring. And once he got in the ring, if you ever saw it, he would grab the rope, the top rope, and he would just start shaking. Any Ultimate Warrior fans in the room? Okay, I thought I might be the only one, but the Lord loves you, whoever you are. And I know it was right before my fourth grade year, because I was going through all of my clothes that I had in kind of my dresser, and I happened to notice something for the first time. I don't know how they got there, but there were these tiger printed spandex shorts just sitting there. And I said to myself, I have to wear those on the first day of school. And when I wear them, everyone, first of all, will know I look like the ultimate warrior. And everyone else is going to be so excited because they love pro wrestling just as much as I do. And I, you know, our memories are a funny thing from a neuroscience perspective. Like, where, like, are they, you know, anyways, but I feel like I have a memory of that first day. And before I walked out the door of my house in my tiger printed spandex shorts, I feel like I have a memory of my mom saying to me, "Tyler, are you sure you really want to wear those?" I'm not sure if that's true or not. It feels true. But I do know something for sure. That first day arriving in my very loud, expressive outfit was the first time I ever experienced what it feels like to have collective shame. This sense of, oh, wow, these shorts are not helping me. These shorts somehow have moved me to the bottom of the social totem pole. I still remember that like it's yesterday. Because I came to school that day wearing these, what I thought were very cool tiger printed spandex. And I thought the whole time people were going to see me and they're going to go, "Oh man, that guy, he is so cool. He looks just like the ultimate warrior." But I think instead what happened was they said, "Oh man, that guy, he is so weird. What happened to him? Who did you want to become like?" August 8th, 1991, there was a song that was released as part of a commercial. It was a commercial that put Gatorade on the map for the first time. The song became so popular that they ended up putting it on cassette tapes. Do you remember what those were? These little tapes that you'd put in your car? And they sold the song for $4.95. And this song became iconic. Maybe you heard some of the lyrics. It went like this. "Sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that's how I dream to be. I dream I move. I dream I groove like Mike. If I could be like Mike." Does anyone remember the Be Like Mike song from the early 90s? It was in reference to the basketball star Michael Jordan, and it became one of the most iconic commercials of all time. Why? I think it's because there is something deeply human about our longing to look like someone else. Stanford University scholar Rene Girard says that every culture he ever studied had a similar quality. He called it, "Cultures are all mimetic." Mimetic, which it just means they seek to mimic or imitate others. That's why we have entire industries that exist for the purpose of making you look like someone else, whether it's fashion or fitness or cosmetic surgery. This is why we have social media filters, because we live in a world obsessed with image. But what if our longing that is in us is really a desire put in us by God for something infinitely better than looking like a celebrity or an athlete or an influencer or even the best version of ourselves? What if there is a desire and a longing put in you by God to look like Jesus? That's where Paul takes us in 2 Corinthians and Galatians 5, that the Spirit of God is at work in us, not to make us better versions of ourselves per se, but to make us look more and more like Jesus. So the question this morning for us is, how are you and I transformed? The Apostle Paul gives us a vision for this kind of life. And his first part of that transformation, he says, is beholding Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, and he says in 2 Corinthians 3 that we behold the glory of God now through unveiled faces. Now, when we hear that today, that means nothing to us, but for his first century audience listening in, they knew exactly the image that Paul was connecting to. He was connecting to the story of Moses from Exodus 34. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God, and when he comes down from Mount Sinai, the people see him and they say he is glowing. He is reflecting the glory of God in our midst. And it was too much for the people. They said, Moses, you need to veil your face. And so in the ancient world, a veil carried with it this idea of not only modesty, but it carried with us this idea of separation. In Moses' case, it represented the fact that the old covenant, while glorious, was still incomplete. And the people couldn't see the fullness of God's glory yet. But Paul's saying, as he's writing in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to the people in Corinth. And if you don't know anything about Corinth, you need to think it's a mixture of Las Vegas and New York City mixed together. That was Corinth. And Paul's telling them that veil that separated us, is gone now. That we can see fully into the glory of God in the face of Christ alone. That now the presence of God isn't separated us by the temple. It's not separated us from some curtain. It is now shown to us in the face of Jesus Christ alone. And now the presence of the Holy Spirit is going forth in your life and mine. You have the great privilege and opportunity to reflect the glory of God, the image of God throughout your life, is what he's saying. And this is what he says in verse 18. Paul drops this life-changing truth. He said this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image." He says the word here, beholding, it could also be translated reflecting, because it comes from the Greek word mirror, that you would look in a mirror to see your reflection. You're beholding Jesus. And then somehow Paul's saying that through beholding Jesus as our mirror, we begin to take on his life. It's not instant, Paul says. He says it right here in this verse. It's from one degree of glory to another. It's a process, what Eugene Peterson called a long obedience in the same direction. And notice who does this work in us? Who does this transformation? He says right at the end of verse 18, "For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Please hear me this morning. Transformation is not try harder to become more loving, try harder to become more patient, try harder to be more joyful. The spiritual life following Jesus is not chug a Red Bull and then try really, 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 really hard to be good. Rather, it's stay close enough to Jesus and his life, beholding him, that through his presence and nearness, you begin to be shaped in yours. Paul's saying, the only way to truly change is to behold, to fix your attention, your affections, your trust on Jesus. In the 1800s, there was a very well-known Japanese artist named Hosokai. He did multiple paintings, and he's known most of all for one painting he did called The Great Wave. You may have seen this. It's considered by many to be one of the greatest paintings of all time, The Great Wave. And you may be led to think that this is just natural talent, that someone could just do something like this. But what we learn through the biography about Hosokai is he didn't just come up with this painting. In fact, we learned that he spent years beholding the waves of Japan, how the waves would break, how the foam would froth, how the different skies would change the light on the water. That through beholding for years, it began to shape him. Hosokai's life shows a universal truth. What you behold over time, you begin to reflect. His waves became more alive because he spent a lifetime fixing his eyes on them. That's what Paul's getting at here. You don't become like Jesus by glancing at him every so often, or glancing at him when, oh, okay, things are getting out of control in my life. I got to look at Jesus. You become like him by beholding him over years, over decades, until his life shapes you. Friends, please hear me. Becoming like Jesus isn't trying harder. It's beholding him longer. Becoming like him isn't trying harder. Okay, I got to be more patient, be more joyful. It is beholding him longer throughout your day, making space for him, recognizing that he is with you, recognizing that he goes before you. Sometimes I actually think this way. You might think I'm crazy, but whenever I'm walking somewhere, I almost kind of imagine Jesus is in front of me leading the way. Somehow that helps me. Oh, he's with me. He's leading me. Here's the question that you have to answer. If we become like what we behold, here's your question. What am I beholding most often? What has my gaze? What has my focus? What has my attention through the day? We become like what we behold. Think about it this way. If you behold career success and achievement, you will reflect a relentless drive and exhaustion. If you behold people pleasing, you will reflect a constant anxiety, a fear of rejection, and an endless struggle to be everything to everyone. If you behold money, or for some of you, you don't think about money, you think about crypto. If you behold money, you'll reflect an endless craving for more, an illusion of control, and a hollow promise of security. But if you behold Jesus through his word, through prayer, being in community, serving, over time, key words, over time, you will begin to reflect his love, his patience, his joy. We become like what we behold. The question is, will you make the decision today to follow Jesus and behold him, to fix your eyes on him, to fix your gaze on him? Jesus, lead my life. Jesus, I'm gonna follow. Jesus, I'm gonna surrender. How are you and I transformed? First, beholding Jesus. Second, Paul tells us, walking in the Spirit. This is what Paul says in Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In Galatians 5, Paul contrasts two ways of living. He says here, we can live by the flesh. It's the Greek word sarx, and it really carries it with this idea of not thinking flesh like this flesh, but it's a way of living. It's a system of life. It's a way of living out our life where we live life in our own strength. We live our life in self-reliance. Paul says that's the life of the flesh. But there's another life called life in the Spirit, where we gain power through the Holy Spirit. We gain life through the Holy Spirit. And those lives are what you can walk in. One that leads to life and one that doesn't. And here Paul, he gives this image of fruit. It's a would have been a common way to talk about things in the ancient world because everyone knew about life on a tree. It wasn't like us where you go to the grocery store and it's like, oh, these apples just got here. You had a tree that had apples on it. And they grew because there was life in the tree. No one in that time would have looked at their tree, their apple tree, and yelled at their apple tree and said, you need to grow more apples, tree. And you need to do it now. There was a process. There was a way that you knew the tree doesn't produce fruit by gritting its teeth. It produces fruit because it's alive and healthy and connected to the source of life. In the same way, your focus isn't to act more patient or try harder to be more joyful. Your focus to experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life is to stay connected to the Spirit. As we walk in him, he grows the fruit. Now, I want you to know this is a slow process. It's a process that takes a lifetime and a journey to see come forth in you. And sometimes, if I'm being honest, it feels like it is taking forever in my own life. But I come back to a writer who's really shaped me, who gave me this quote. He says, embrace the slow work of God in your life. Embrace the slow work of God. Just like a tree that begins to bear fruit, it takes time, and same for you and I, that as we walk in the Spirit, it will happen. But sometimes I will confess that it feels like it is not only slow, but painfully slow. And I have to be reminded, Tyler, embrace the slow work of God in your life. I was reminded of this very past week. In my own apprenticeship to Jesus, I want to show you an image on the screen. We'll pull it up right now. Some of you might know what this is. But this was my spiritual practice for patience this past Wednesday. this massive area of Orlando lost internet, myself included, because of an issue with my internet provider. Now, my internet provider doesn't need to be named. It's not important. In fact, it's not even really a name. It's just letters. It's really only two letters, A and two T's, but maybe you experienced this as well. And here's what I'm learning in my apprenticing under Jesus is when things are going well, when everything seems to be working out just like I hoped, I can begin to believe that I can live this life in my own strength. But what I learned is the second my internet goes out for just a couple of hours, everything inside of me begins to explode and then implode. This past Wednesday, I was reminded of how in moments where things are not working out as I had expected, how quick I am to be irritated by life and everyone around me. Embrace the slow work of God. How quickly I'm reminded of my constant, constant need for the grace of God. In those moments where you are exposed just like I was, we receive again Jesus' invitation to us. He says, Tyler, repent. It's just the moment Jesus gives us when he says repent. It's like, Tyler, you've trusted in your own strength again, in your own way. And that thing happening inside of you right now, that's called disintegration from wholeness. So repent. And then Jesus says, believe. Believe in me. Jesus is saying, trust in me, Tyler. Put your confidence in me. Follow me. Why? Jesus, why should I follow you? And this is what he says. For the kingdom of God is now available in me. Eternal life, like we were meant to experience, to be truly human, integrated in who you are, is now available in me. And you can experience it now in this life in some ways and even more in the next. We gain a new status, a new citizenship. We are part of a new creation. What is true of Christ is now declared true of me. We live in the promise that God meets us this morning with whatever we carry. We know that through Jesus and his life, we are now safe and secure in the kingdom of God for all eternity. And through surrender, we can allow the Holy Spirit to take over our life with his power, and we are sent out as his people to look like Jesus and to bring his kingdom to this broken world. That's the offer. The kingdom of God is now available if, Tyler, you will repent from living in your own strength and trust in me. Through that, you can be a picture to this world of what it means to follow me. Recently, we had a dear member of our church pass away, Robbie Robertson. Many of you know that. And after he passed away, I reached out to Matt, his son, because Matt's in our community group with his family and wanted him to know, hey, we are praying for you. We are here for you. We want to support you. And while we were on the phone together, I just started talking to him about his dad, and he's given me permission to share this. But I said, you know, Matt, I really actually didn't know your dad that well. And I hate that because when I hear Pastor Joe talk about your dad, he just says, Robbie was amazing. And I said, I wish I got to know him. But Matt, every story I've heard about him was just, he was just a great guy. And I want you to know, I wish I could have known him the way you knew him. And then I said, hey, Matt, Matt, the fact that you had him as a dad was a grace gift. To have him as your dad was a grace gift. And, you know, when you say something like that about someone, you or at least I felt it in that moment, I need to offer something because maybe there was a public Robbie and then there was a private Robbie that only Matt saw. And I felt in that moment, I need to create space for that. And so I said, Matt, you know, it was a grace gift to have a dad like that, but obviously no one's perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. So I wanted to give that space in case he needed to let me know something that was painful he's carried. And Matt paused. If I'm honest, it was a longer pause than I needed in that moment because I was like, did I say something wrong? And because he paused so long, I was thinking, okay, he was going to come back and say, oh yeah, Tyler, my dad was a mess. Or, you know, Tyler, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And Matt paused. And then he said to me, Tyler, there is no one in my life. There's no one in my life more than my dad who, when I looked at them, I saw Jesus. And when he said that, I just felt the Spirit's invitation in my soul. It was just this sense in my spirit that immediately the Spirit said to me, Tyler, that's the vision for your life. That's the vision. Who cares whether people like you? Who cares whether this church grows? Who cares whether people think you are successful? Whatever. That's the vision. Will people, when I'm older, say, man, I saw the public and the private. I saw every bit of who he was. And I'll tell you one thing. There's no one that reminded me more of Jesus than that person. That's a vision for your life, friends. Who do you want to look like? Who do you want to become? Friends, the gospel of the kingdom is available to you now. So the question I've given every week is, will you make the decision today to follow him? Today, because tomorrow isn't given to us, and tomorrow we'll have enough worries of our own. Today, will you make the decision saying, Jesus, I will follow you today. I will let you lead my life today. I will surrender my life to you today because I want a vision for my life bigger than the things of this world. Will you let the Spirit make you new? May you receive a greater vision for your life in Christ alone. And today, go forth in his power to be his people wherever he has placed you. Let me pray for us. Father, as we end our series today, the invitation comes to us all again. Will we follow you, Jesus? Will we behold you so we can become like you? Will we put our trust in you alone this morning? And maybe there's someone here who has never said to Jesus, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I need you to rule and reign over my life because I have been an awful master. And so, Lord, would you just meet them right now with your Holy Spirit and give them your peace. Give them the confidence that you're not done. You're not done. Embrace the slow work of God and allow us to be outposts of your kingdom, living and demonstrating there is a better world in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.